Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week here on Building the Bakken Radio, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. Building the Bakken is not a political program, rather an informational brand. No polarizing talk, just conversations about facts of the energy industry. Building the Bakken is about the people, the community, and the industry. Those who are involved with the evolution of the Bakken oil fields, Shale Play USA, and the oil and gas industry. On today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio, we talk with Daniel Stenberg from McKenzie County Economic Development, an update from the hot zone in the core of the Bakken. A little bit later on in the program here, Mary Jo Ehrman, author and business owner, talks about an upcoming conference discussing the current economic system, how oil and gas play into the global marketplace. Plus, Dr. Daniel Fine, Associate Director, New Mexico Center for Energy Policy, discusses the national and global natural gas market and infrastructure needs. Plus, our Davis Refinery update with Dan Hetherington gives us a detail of the technology and engineering that's going into creating the Davis Refinery, making it the cleanest refinery on the planet. All that, plus much more on today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com, and I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Well, I was 2 years old when John Lennon died. Well, I was 23 when George said,
welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Up next, Daniel Stenberg, Economic Development Coordinator for McKenzie County.
It slowed down a little bit from the 2012 days, but out of all the counties in the United States, and North Dakota specifically, that one is just keeps on pumping out taxable sales and everything else. Talk to me about your job and what's going on out there in McKenzie County.
Sure. Yeah. Well, kind of like what you alluded to. Really, we're not so much into the attracting jobs in Watford City right now. We're more in the workforce development, just because that's the biggest need, is for the skilled workforce to meet the needs of what the companies are asking for. And so we're working with different universities. We've got University of Mary. We've got Williston State College. We have TrainND. All that are working to provide services that's training services, so that we can get people skilled up for being a truck driver, being involved in safety, different classes like that, so that that we can fill that. We have a lot of unfilled jobs right now that we're seeking to get filled.
So the first step is jobs, and obviously you know that when you have jobs, you need a place to live. That was an issue. The first phase of the issue was that there was no housing, and what little housing there was, it was $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for a one-bedroom apartment. Well, then now prices dropped a little bit, and now we have the second phase, which is empty buildings, right? Empty things started happening. Well, now we're starting to see those come together a little bit. Are people starting to fill those housings that were vacant before? Are the jobs getting filled a little? We had Cindy Sanford on earlier, mm-hmm. and it's almost like we cannot fill the jobs fast enough for what they're coming available. So what's it like in Watford? Are we getting some housing there? Is it under $20,000 a month yet?
No, housing has was a headache about 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then we got a lot of developers that came in, and we have apartments now, plenty of apartments, so that they're over half full, I think, now. But it was, it's just the way supply and demand works. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of magnified when you're in a community that increased 260% population in the past 7 years. And so now we do have, you can get an apartment for $500-$600, whereas before it was $1,500 or $2,000. And so, yeah, the apartments are much feasible rate for workers, not just in the oil field, but we're having a lot of other workers coming in. We have the headquarters of First International Bank is in Watford City. We have other of the infrastructure that's built out, and so now we're seeking to accommodate those workers as well.
How big is Watford?
So the census has us at 6,700 people or so.
6,700. What were you 10 years ago?
It was like 1,700.
Yeah. It grew like five times the amount of what it was 5 years ago. I mean, like literally has grown. So you're talking about sewage and water and roads and schooling. The schooling, it was amazing. They had kids using outdoor porta potties during winter months. Remember that? This stuff was going on while they were trying to do the construction. It was growing so fast. There were so many people there. Some of the stories that were coming out of Watford City were making national headlines because it was truly amazing. You'd see these. In fact, I had former Mayor Brent Sanford on, and we were chuckling about how this would not be allowed in like any other community, but because first of all, North Dakota, because of the speed of everything and just the culture of oil and gas understanding, sometimes you have to sacrifice for a bigger payoff. So what are you seeing in Watford City as far as a payoff? Are we seeing new roads or new infrastructural things? Talk about that, what has gone into the development of Watford City.
Well, the past couple of years, we've really seen, I mean, the oil industry did hit a slowdown, and we've just used it as we've viewed it as a gift of catch-up, and so that we were able to build out our roads, our infrastructure, the school system. Now, if you come look at our high school, we're going to be transitioning to Class A high school, and the facility itself is very, very top-notch, and we're able to capitalize on a lot of other things that we weren't able to capitalize on as a smaller school. But still, our elementary, our kindergarten is still about twice the size of our senior class, and so as those numbers move up, we just have a lot more opportunities now with those people. And so the hard infrastructure is built out. We're finishing the hospital. That'll be finished next year. But we've got a new water system. We have the hospital. We've got new school buildings and our huge Rough Rider Center. And so those are kind of some of the hard infrastructure things that have helped. And so if we were to return to 2013 levels, we could accommodate it a lot more. I don't think we're going to. But I still feel that we're at a vibrant pace in Watford City. And I think most people are pretty content with the level that we're at right now.
To listen to the full-length interview with Daniel Stenberg, Economic Development Coordinator for McKenzie County, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And please follow our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. Listen to us on iTunes as well. Search The Crude Life. New and free downloads every single week on iTunes. Search for The Crude Life on iTunes.
Last, if you don't take off your mask, when the outside's chilly, the inside is warm, you've been wishing you'd never been born. All I can say is that you try to behave and try not to get your mind blown.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Mary Jo Ehrman, author and business owner of Fiscal Bridge, LLC.
Mary Jo Ehrman. Okay, first of all, let's talk about your background and how you, kind of your journey to where you are as an author and, you know, this kind of this whole farming thing.
Well, I started in the business in 2010. And I basically just accidentally came upon it. I was still mad about my losses in the stock market in 2009 and was looking for something in a place, something different, non-traditional, in a place to put my money that I didn't have to put it at risk. Accidentally came upon the infinite banking concept, and so I decided that, well, I'm from a farm. I love farmers, and so I'm going to write a book for farmers. And I had to write the book for farmers because they wouldn't believe me when I showed them that they could get away from the banking system. And so in order to show them that, I wrote the book, and here we are today.
It's interesting. I just spoke with Roger Johnson, president for the National Farmers Union this morning, and he addressed kind of one of the big issues in farming right now is young people trying to figure out how to do it, how to get a handle on it, how to make it work. Do you find that that is one of the big problems? And if so, does your book help satisfy that?
Oh, absolutely, it's a problem. And it's a problem, I see that, because I'm looking at their financials every day, I see that it's a financial problem, young or old. It really doesn't matter. The younger ones are not getting the loans just because they don't have the collateral. So then dad's got to put up the collateral. So it's tough regardless. I just see the banks are pulling back because they're really scared that we're going to have a repeat of the 80s. And we're very, very close to that. So they're pulling back. They're not giving money. And farmers have to find a way to prepare for that. You know, and what I say all the time is we're making the bank plan B, not plan A. So absolutely, my book addresses that. We have to get away from the banking system. It's a process, but that process has to start somewhere.
You mentioned a cycling event of the 80s, of course. For me, I'm thinking of land prices. You know, back then, I think to buy a house or some land or something like that, we're talking 18-20%, which is like credit card fees to buy land. And of course, the price of wheat and corn and everything else, there were some real problems back in the 80s. What makes you see the signs? I see the signs too, but what signs do you see heading down that path?
Well, banks just aren't lending. They don't, because of the 80s, they were stuck with all kinds of land. They don't want that land. Banks want liquidity. They want liquid money. They want cash flow coming into the bank so that they can make more money. They don't make money off of land just sitting there. So they're pulling back and saying, hey, we don't want to lend you money if your books aren't correct. And we don't want to take that chance because we already did it once, and that could really hurt us. So does it matter where interest rates are? Not necessarily, because they want cash flow. And if there's no cash flow, they're not making money.
Sure, and I suppose that a lot of the credit score has to do with kind of the shift in perception. Would that be a fair statement?
I know that's a good question. I don't know how they look at credit scores because they always want collateral. You know, so if you don't have the collateral to put up for it, they're not going to give it. Every bank is a little bit different. What I've seen is that the banks really loved the farming industry when corn was $7 a bushel. They would lend money to anybody. Now that corn is $3 to $4 a bushel, they're not lending money to anybody. So, and a lot of those banks that were lending money to farmers quit lending money to farmers. I have a lot of clients that couldn't get loans because it's not that they had bad credit. It's not that they didn't have collateral. It's that the bank said, I'm not playing this farming game anymore. You're going to have to go elsewhere. And that really puts a farmer in a hard position too. So it's not all about just, hey, my credit score is bad. It's a, what is the bank doing? Does the bank president and the bank board understand the farming industry? In most cases, they may not. They're not the ones out there farming, so they don't want to take that risk. They'll go to a different industry that's maybe doing better, where they have much less risk of having to have collateral sitting on the books that's not going to do anything.
Mary Jo Ehrman on the line with us, author of Farming Without the Bank and Wealth Without the Bank or Wall Street. She's also sponsoring an event coming up, the Secure Wealth Builders Conference, happening in Bismarck, North Dakota. Talk to me about this conference a little bit, as far as your involvement and what topics are going to be covered.
Well, it is a two-day event that I'm sponsoring because nobody's doing finance conferences to teach people that there's a different way and there's a more secure way to make money, just like the banks are making money, just like the wealthy are making money. So we are going to cover, obviously, how to think and protect your wealth, like the banks and the wealthy, and which is talked about in my book. And then we're going to cover some estate planning and to estate plan correctly so that you're not losing money to the courts through probate and taxes. We're going to talk about why long-term care is important. Because we have a huge issue with people not having the long-term care, causing families to break up. And then we're going to have Barry Dyke, the author of the New York Times bestseller, Pirates of Manhattan, and he's going to be talking about Wall Street and the banks and what they're doing with money and what the economic outlook is.
You've mentioned quite a bit about farming. That, of course, is your background, the ag industry, but to me, it sounds like some other people could probably benefit from this information. Who do you expect to attend this?
You know, obviously, I work with farmers, but I work with everybody. I mean, I have two books for a reason. One, because non-farmers are saying, hey, can you write a book that doesn't have farm analogies in it? And so anybody is welcome to come to the conference. The people that are going to probably really want to be there are those people that they don't want the risk of the market. They want to use their money today without penalty. They want to create a retirement that they know is going to be there. And retirement meaning either you're going to retire off the farm or you're going to retire from a job. Our farmers aren't preparing for retirement any more than the employees are preparing for retirement. So just preparing and knowing that money is going to be there and safe is important. So if those are things that matter to you, if you want to learn the truth about what's going on economically and you want to hear what Barry has to say, then you're going to probably want to be there.
And this is the Secure Wealth Builders Conference. When is that, again, and where do you have that information, maybe where it's located, time, that sort of thing? I left the note in the other room, and I apologize.
That's okay. It is November 17th and 18th here in Bismarck, and it's at the Ramada. So if you want tickets, you can go to maryjoehrman.com or farmingwithoutthebank.com, and you can get them at either one of my websites. You know, my final thought is what we're doing is not working. We're, the 401ks, people are working. You go to Walmart, Menards, and our local grocery store, and that's where you see all these elderly people. Are they working because they have to, or are they working because they want to? If you want some guarantees to retire, if you want to be like the Rockefellers and you want to have money, look at where the banks are putting their money. Look at where the wealthy are putting their money, and it's not what we're being told. We're being told to do what the poor people are doing.
To listen to the full-length interview with Mary Jo Ehrman, author and business owner of Fiscal Bridge LLC, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm choking.
music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard of the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Daniel Fine, the director for the New Mexico Center of Energy Policy.
Kind of the global versus the domestic supply. Okay, so we've got a lot of infrastructure happening. You know, you look at natural gas prices in the United States, I don't know, $3 or something like that. I don't know, in Asia about $8, probably $13, $15 over in Great Britain. Disparity is what I'm getting at. Asia's middle class is growing. So is the India's middle class. So we're seeing a surge of a demand for a global supply of oil and oil-based products, whether it be agriculture or plastics. What do you see for a global and domestic demand and supply over the next several years?
Well, let me review what's out there right now. The forecast from the environmental side is, the forecast from the environmentalist side is demand is falling rapidly for oil. The projection is that we'll be in a demand crisis. We'll be in a demand crisis by 2025. The Saudi vision of all this, Saudi Arabia, is no more than 1% worldwide per year demand increase. And they intend to capture that. My view of this is that it's a fuel choice. And unless electric cars replace essentially the fuel of choice, the historic fuel, which has been oil and gasoline, and that takes place, there'll be no disruption. oil will be with us as the choice fuel because of the consumption in transportation until 2040. I would look 2040 maybe in terms of electric and batteries. So my reading of it is renewable alternative fuels don't really exist. They exist for not as fuels, they exist in power, electric power as an alternative to coal. Once you run out of coal, substitution by way of wind and solar, they will have some problems. So my view of this is slow demand. We're not going up to a crisis. Why? Of supply, because of our reserves. 275 billion barrels here in the United States, plus Canada. And that's why we take a position. The future, whether we design it in policy, inevitably we're going to be self-sufficient. Trump understands this. His people like Zinke around him and his EPA director. They understand we're on the cusp now of self-sufficiency. Here's a question you didn't ask, but let me go ahead.
Okay.
What about the Navy of the United States? What about 6 aircraft carriers out there? 6 aircraft carriers, world leadership in the world oceans, 5 oceans and seas. What have they been doing, and why have we put up a defense of world oil to keep the flow of world oil? One analyst said between 1976 and 2007, we spent $1.3 trillion defending, with our leadership in the world, defending other oil producers, keeping, quote, the flow of world oil is our responsibility. What happens when we're self-sufficient? What does the public think about that expenditure? And what does the Navy, what is the strategy for an event like that? So my reading of it is this will change as we get closer to self-sufficiency and a North American market where, as John said, as a producer, he'll wake up every morning and the price will be stable. He can plan. It will not be a shock to him at 6 in the morning of what Singapore has set as the price or an event in the Middle East. We move away from that. And that takes us back to Boone Pickens, who's thinking out what happens, you know, he's been around oil a long time, and he's trying to work out a program in a period where he can make money when we're self-sufficient. So my reading of it is essentially that we're about to change, and all the deregulation that we're going through will increase our output. It will be incentivizing our refineries to finally develop the capacity to do without heavy crude, certainly over oceans, and that little heavy crude that we need for our refineries can come from Canada. Mm-hmm. That's the block and market of North America.
That's all I got, gentlemen. You got anything else?
I only want to say that one of the initiatives that the Trump administration is planning on implementing is trying to open up federal lands to development more in a greater way. For the last 10 years, we basically, as an industry, have been handcuffed from operating on federal lands for the most part. Terrible restrictions, terrible regulations, just a huge amount of paperwork to just even get a well drilled. And now, hopefully, there will be a new day and federal lands will be opened up so that we can develop that federal resource. Most of this last 10 years of the rapid increase in the amount of oil and natural gas that we've found and freed up in the U.S. has been found on private surface, private minerals underneath the surface, or state minerals underneath the surface. So without much help from the federal government, there's been very little exploitation of the federal leases. And so now that may change, and that will free up a whole host of new opportunities.
I want to add one more thing to take a look at what we're doing. We have a small grassroots movement in Texas and New Mexico called PIRI, P-I-R-I. It's on your websites. That's the Panhandle Initiative to Reduce Imports. And this group, again, grassroots, small independent producers, is looking at possibly unfair trade and citing it alongside steel and aluminum because of what happened in 14 to 17 with OPEC trying to put us out of business.
To listen to the full-length interview with Daniel Fine, director for the New Mexico Center of Energy Policy, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. Take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Dan Hedrington from SEH.
So we're in the process of trying to permit the state-of-the-art facility that is going to be
the newest in decades and decades. And so what's happening is that we fully expect that the governing authorities involved with this are going to be going through it thoroughly. So this is something we expect. Like I said, we're thrilled with everybody that we've been dealing with in North Dakota, just the amount of attention they're giving to it, the amount of priority that they're giving our project. Is the timeline, you know, would we like to see it faster? Of course, everybody does. You'd like to see things move along so that you can get, you know, shovels in the ground sooner and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, those of us that are involved with the construction end of things, we're going, you know what, winter comes fast in North Dakota, and when it hits hard. So we want things sooner, but we would much more rather have a situation where the authorities that are reviewing this and approving these applications have 100% confidence that what we're saying is true, the information we're providing is accurate, and that if someone, you know, tries to argue the fact later on, that we'll have all of our ducks in a row and everything will have been done properly. So on the whole, we're very, very pleased with what's going on. We're looking forward to working with these governing officials as we move along, but things are going very well.
Is there anything specifically that you guys are kind of keeping an eye on type of a thing when it comes to the air quality?
Well, so we know 100%, we're 100% confident that the North Dakota officials are reviewing our project and they're reviewing it thoroughly. So right now, like I said, the latest and the greatest is that we're expecting a letter, and we're going to respond to that very, very quickly. So as soon as we get that official, you know, request, we'll jump on that, provide them with information. As they continue to review it, we're hoping for a situation where they deem the application complete, that they have all of the data that they need to make their decisions. That's why they're actually asking for just a little bit of data now. Once that happens, we'll be in a great position to where they'll finalize their review, and hopefully we'll get our permit sooner than later.
My next question might seem like parsing words a little bit, but to the average person, it might seem like parsing words, but you might know a little bit more specifically what I'm talking about. This permit now, it was not resubmitted, it was amended. Is that correct?
Yeah, you're actually right on the money. So there are distinctions between how you apply for permits. So you'd explain that maybe for some of the listeners, but really what it boils down to is that you make your initial application, you submit that documentation, and then if you were to somehow withdraw that request and then say resubmit it a year later, it's considered a new application. What we did was something that I would consider to be a little bit unique. So I'm going to go into this in a little bit of detail, and you cut me off if you think that's appropriate, because I'm fine with that. So the basics is we submitted our original application back in October, and through the just going through the design process and going through finalizing components and things like that, some of the design engineers found some components that they felt if they modified the design that they could reduce emissions even more. Now remember, that first application was submitted with our expected emissions being less than the allowable threshold for emissions in that area. So we thought we were in a great position as it was for the original application. Well, when the Meridian leadership team was approached with that information that, hey, by the way, we could switch out some components and make this even better, the decision was made, do it. We want it better. We want even less emissions if we have to. So what we did in April or early April, we submitted an amendment. So what we did is we went in there and said, okay, same location, same project, same, you know, basic stuff, but we're switching out some of the components. So we made an amendment to our application and submitted that document, that series of documents. And then, so that's what's being thoroughly reviewed right now. Well, to be honest with you, Jason, this project is an outstanding project. I know the individuals that are on the leadership team, I know them well. I know their intentions. I know what their goals are. I know what's important to them. And I know the team. I know the engineers on the staff. I know the operators that are hired. I know that this is one of the best teams that I've ever seen in my career. These people are dedicated and very, very, very concerned about everything that would impact the locals in the area, the state, and the federals, or so as far as for the United States as a whole. And I'm just excited about this project. This is an outstanding project. I think that it has great impacts to the locals as far as for the local municipalities, but the state of North Dakota, you made reference earlier that North Dakota is going to be, you maybe didn't use this term, but this is going to be kind of a role model project. North Dakota is going to be a leader in this. And then for the United States as a whole, this is a new refinery.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dan Hetherington from SEH or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
We're kind of like that, we're kind of like that, girl. We're kind of like that, we're kind of like that. We're kind of like that, we're kind of like that, girl. We're kind of like that, we're kind of like that, oh yeah.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. And that concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. Building the Bakken would also like to thank its sponsors, MBI Energy Services, cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. For more information on MBI Energy Services or to check out their latest job offerings, visit mbienergyservices.com. That's mbienergyservices.com. Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty's in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. The Eric Hatch team may not sell real estate in your community, but they can be a resource and a connection for you. Give them a call today at 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. The Lodge at Deadwood. The next time you're planning a conference, wedding, or weekend getaway, consider the Lodge at Deadwood. For more information, visit deadwoodlodge.com. That's deadwoodlodge.com. That's the Lodge at Deadwood, located in the beautiful Black Hills. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week.
We're kind of like that. We're kind of like that. Oh, yeah.
Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946, or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com, and I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.